Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, the news.
20 minutes, Deborah Leve on the news. Spread out.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm TC Downey, aka Beast Zeno, and with me on the line is Zach Black. Zach, how you doing today, man? Zach? Oh, okay, not with me on the line is Zach Black, fucker. Anyway, I guess today's going to kind of be a little bit of an interesting show. We're going to throw this out a little bit. I mean, here's the thing that I've come across. There's a lot of people out there that... They want to say that Satanism is, it's whatever you want it to be. You know, there are loose things that, you might associate it with, but ultimately it's up to the individual to define Satan how they feel, how they feel it's warranted. And actually, real quick here, let me break in to say Zach's now back with us. Zach, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, man. Sorry, I got dropped, man.
Yeah, I know how it goes, man. So I was kind of giving a little bit of an introduction. Today's show, it kind of occurs to me that, over the 105 episodes of The Ooze, which, by the way, there's 105. This is the 106th episode of The Ooze. Just thought everybody would think that was kind of neat. I didn't even know the 100th episode had come and gone. But it seems to have. But over these 106, 105 episodes prior, we've never really talked about what Satanism is. We've talked about, things regarding it and different aspects of it, but we've never actually gotten into the nit and gritty of what it really means. So I guess we should, from that angle, kind of start... where to really even begin with this. I suppose we could start with what I consider to be the basic definition of Satanism. And if for anybody who doesn't know what an ism is a system or a philosophy or practice of something. And in this case, it's the practice of being like Satan. So... that's my definition. That's clearly what I think it is. It is the philosophy or practice of being like Satan. Now I realize that there are theistic people out there that they also consider what they do Satanism, and to me that's just slightly mislabeled. It's more like Satanity. If I can coin that term, I won't coin that term. I kind of swiped it off of Nagashiva, but I think that there's a clear difference between the two. And Satan himself, as far as my understanding of it goes, he took a stand against something, and that stand in particular was against the subservience to something that he felt was inferior to him, and ultimately defied something that was maybe greater than him because he, didn't want to bow to something that he felt was less than him. Or at least this is the... this is the kind of understanding that I've grown up with, and now I have as a background, a somewhat Baptist upbringing, I suppose. My mom herself wasn't really heavily religious, but my grandparents were as Baptist as Baptists get, and so it was interesting growing up. So with that being put out there, Zach, is there anything specific you maybe want to add, or any questions you want to ask or anything?
Sure, man. You know, Satan to me, I was raised Catholic, but Satan was the one to step up and challenge the will of God. And I think as a Satanist, that's what we ultimately are doing, is we're challenging the will of God, or what is being presented to us as God. We are the adversaries. We are adversarial. You know, we are our own gods. We live for passion. We live for indulgence. We live for lust for life. You know, that's kind of where we're going at. As far as Satanists go, at least as far as my Satanism goes.
Right on. Well, now, just for clarity, are you a Satanist, or... I mean, do you practice Satanism, or do you practice Satanity?
I personally am more of an atheistic Satanist. I use Satan as a symbolic representation to represent my passion and lust for life. I don't think Satan is a literal deity. I use him more of a symbolic metaphor to represent my desires, my passion, my lust, my... you know, emotion, and as a symbolic figure, as the adversary. So I'm more of an atheistic Satanist, or, you know, if you peg me down, I would consider myself a Levian Satanist. I kind of, you know, the whole Levian Satanist thing is kind of, you know, a little outdated, but that's where I'm coming from. To me, I'm not a theist, I'm an atheist. I'm an atheist who uses Satan as a symbolic metaphor to represent my passion, lust for life.
Right. Now, I'm assuming that, given that set of parameters that you've put there, you use Satan as kind of like a symbolic big brother to kind of look up to and model yourself after?
Oh, for sure. You know, that kind of breaks off into Luciferianism, and I see Satan as a symbolic metaphor, as kind of a mythological symbol, you know, to represent man, and to carve the way for questioning, for being the adversary, for being you know, champion lust and champion passion for life. And that's what I'm all about. I think that's what Satanism is at the roots of it.
Right. I would absolutely agree with that. But I think it comes hand in hand with the understanding that, you know, by Satan ultimately defying the will of God, which... you know, at least this is my understanding of the mythology of it. By him defying the will of God, he's, you know, ultimately disconnected himself from any kind of, what do I want to say, established dogma or tradition or hierarchy. And I think this is kind of another reason why I like to make this separation between Satanism and Satanity. Because I believe that, anybody who actually is practicing Satanism is not worshiping an external deity. I mean, even if they can recognize the qualities in which embody Satan in some external force, by themselves, by itself, that force is not... God, I'm looking for good wording here, and I should just be talking, so fuck the good wording. That the external force, just because you recognize that external force as being present, it does not necessarily still mandate a need to worship it. You know, there is instead a need to, you know, possibly model ourselves. I mean, let's really take a look at how humans develop, and you know, one of our first, you know, qualities that we develop as people is a kind of a mimicry that we do. You know, you watch the people around you and you learn. I mean, anybody who's had a child knows that this is true. They, you know, that they see what everybody else is doing and they try to replicate it in that way. That's, you know, the same thing that I think is going on here.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you. You know what? And it's somebody needs to stand up, you know, if people just do what they're told. I mean, we're just sheep, you know. I mean, occasionally a few of us stand up and say, why? Question. Why? Why should I believe this? Why should I believe this? What are we doing here? You know, and we stand up and we make ourselves our own gods, and that's what Satan is all about. You know, we make ourselves our own gods, and you know, we define our own path, and we define our own reality, and our consciousness, and our destiny. And in spite of the, you know, what people tell us what we should do, this is where we're going. This is our direction, and our direction is independence. It's about the individual. It's about you. It's about me. It's about us. And we're going to carve our way through this reality, you know, until the bitter end.
Now, we actually have a caller coming in on the line. And before I put them on, I'm really just quickly going to kind of throw this out here. Because I personally, I have a little bit of a conflict with the concept of defining yourself as your own God. See, in my mind, when Satan defied God, Satan was basically saying, "Look, you know, I'm Satan. I'm not, you know, I'm not less than a man. I'm something greater than him. But you know, ultimately, you know, I'm not a god either. And I don't think that Satan tried to become a god. Instead, he, you know, he just wanted to, you know, be himself in his own, you know, wholeness, and felt that that was somehow superior to what he was defying. Now, of course, I'm borrowing from not only, you know, the classical text, but also many romanticized books and whatever that I've seen it. But I myself, I'm not striving to become a god. I think that that reaches... it's unrealistic. It's outside of my own personal parameter. Rather, I'm striving to become the best me, the best human being that I can be. And, you know, I don't wish to be anything outside of what I am. You know, just the best of all of me is what I tend to try to push towards. But before we go any further, let's go ahead and pull our caller on the line. Caller, this is Hughes.
Hey, it's Sam. How you doing, guys?
Doing good.
How's it? What's up?
I thought it was an interesting subject. You know, because you hear it rehashed all the time, and you'd think after 20 or so years you wouldn't have to rehash it. But I think what confuses people mostly is that, okay, now you said you're not trying to be a god. Okay, whatever the definition of god is, you want to be the best possible you that you can be, the best possible human being that you can be. And then people say, well, then why Satan? Why are you trying to emulate an archetype that's already been established with all of its connotations? Why not just try to emulate yourself? And I think that's what confuses people mostly. Wouldn't you agree?
Well you know,
I would agree that...
Go ahead,
guys.
Sorry. You know, I would agree with that. I mean, the definition of God is interpretable. And, you know, as Satanists, I don't you know, especially if you're looking at it from perspective of an atheistic Satanist, which I believe you are doing as well as I am, Allison.
Yeah.
The definition of God is interpretable, and you know, it really comes down to this. I mean, we're just living our lives for ourselves. It's just about pleasure and indulgence, and God. The notion of God from an atheist perspective is, you know, highly interpretable. Go ahead, guys. There's an airplane flying above my fucking head.
Yeah, I would agree with you that the word God is definitely, you know, an abstract. The idea of God is just an abstract idea in itself. But when people ask me, you know, like, why Satan? Why not just be Allison? Or why not just be Sin or whatever? I typically give the same answer. It's more of a dividing factor. There is a certain quality of people that I want to spend time with. I want to spend time with people that are critical thinkers, who are interested in improving on themselves and exploring ideas, exploring what is controversial and taboo, and kind of seeing through all of that. And the minute someone hears Satan, and if they jump back and they need to go the other way, well, that's probably not the type of person that I would be around anyway. So that's basically why I use it. It's more of that dividing factor of it immediately tells me what kind of mind you're working with, like what your psychology is like.
Right. Now, I'm going to actually throw a little bit of a different curve because I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you're saying here, but I have a slightly different approach. For me, for instance, I'm just going to use my own personal thing. I lost my father when I was almost 3 years old. So I never really had that male role model, you know what I'm saying, to look up to and kind of emulate myself to. I wasn't able to pick out, you know, qualities that I found admirable in the people that my mom married after, being that I'm born an imperfect being, one that really, I mean, let's face it, as human beings, we spend a good portion of our life, if not all of it, trying to understand and define our own self. So sometimes it helps if you have something that you can look outside at and go, well, you know, there's this quality about it, there's that quality about it, and I like those things. Those are things that I would like to enact and hold into myself. And I think that that is why I choose to emulate Satan, because I like the idea of, that defiance that, you know, could cost you everything, but you're not willing to, you know, bend from certain principles. You know, you'd rather be cast to the earth in a pit of fire than change this particular principle. That's one of the things that I like. Also, I kind of grew up with this idea that Satan was more like a prankster or a trickster or somebody with a very jovial sense of humor. That's a quality that I really myself admired and wanted to instill in myself. So as a young teenager, which is, you know, when I really came into this, those were qualities that were all very admirable to me and things that I wanted to model myself after. So it kind of gives you parameters.
Okay. I think that's also where the confusion comes in with why outsiders, that don't understand why we seek the symbol or why we use the symbol, is they can't differentiate between worship, admiration, and reverence. They all kind of just throw those into the bucket of worship. They hear Satanists admiring the symbol, finding qualities that they identify with in the symbol, and speaking of the symbol in a very admirable way. And so to them, it interprets as, oh, well, they're worshiping Satan. And then we come back and say, no, we sort of, some of us, not everyone, you know, not all Satanists self-worship. You know, I talked in a previous show about being a narcissist. I'm a complete narcissist, and I do self-worship. And I see myself as Satan. So when people say to me, do you worship Satan? I say, absolutely, because I'm emulating that archetype when I act as the questioner or the litigator or the adversary, or, you know, I'm fighting tooth and nail for things that I hold to be true. I'm standing by my convictions. I see myself as that archetype, but I am not that archetype. I use it kind of like a tool or put it on like clothing, but that's not who I am. I'm Allison, and you're, you know, you're Beast, and he's Zach, and, you know, we just kind of go through life.
Right. One of the things that I actually really enjoy, and I'm not very sure what I picked this up at, but at some point it became clear to me that the adversarial part, or the Satan part of the actual name was more like a title, like an attorney or a doctor might carry, and you know, what he had done in his defiance of God was say, you know, look at all of these horrible flaws. You know, he brought all of these flaws into focus of man and kind of pointed to it, and he said, you know, this creature is unworthy of worship because it's flawed in these things. And I think it's that same kind of lens that I turn not only onto the people around me, but mostly back inside of myself. You know, I like the idea of, you know, governing my own morality, my own ethics. You know, I like picking out the things that I feel are flaws and, you know, working to correct them. So.
And, you know, we're constantly asked, you know, what are the origins of this? You know, if you're taken from the Bible, then you must be a theist. Or if you're borrowing from Christianity, then you must just be from a left-hand path Christian. And I don't think people understand the development of the devil right in the pages of the Bible itself. It was just a title. In the Old Testament, it was a title, and then in the New Testament, it became a person instead of an adjective or a title.
Right. I mean, there are similar words, too. One of my favorites to use, actually, and it's one that people haven't heard very often, is I believe it's pronounced Opunia, which also means an accuser.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled O-P-U-G-G-N, if anybody cares to look it up. But that's you know, there are other words for it. This just happens to be one word from, you know, a very well-developed paradigm that, you know, I'm able to appreciate and place, you know, in my lens of life, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I use various archetypes. It's not just Satan. I just think culturally speaking, with all of the you know, the subjugation and oppression of this religion that's had on our culture, I think it was just a natural evolution for a philosophy to develop using that same story. You know, like they're going to use the story to, you know, enforce things on us. You know, they're going to borrow from the story, then why can't we use the same story and counter it?
Right, and I think that's actually I mean, kind of one of the most beautiful things about thought is that you can play the devil's advocate, that you can, you know, look at what the mirror side of something might be and take something away from it. It with just a little bit of forethought and, you know, some open-mindedness, I suppose. Now I'm curious. Do you see the same distinction that I was referring to at the beginning of this show? You know, the Satanism versus Satanity.
I would say anything can be an ism. You know, really. In order for it to be Satanism, there has to be some kind of framework. And I think that's where all the infighting and disagreement occurs amongst Satanists themselves, is you can't, you know, it's almost like it's developed into, it doesn't allow for individuality, which I oppose myself. You know, like I'm sick and tired of people, you know, saying, oh, well, you're just riding the coattails of LaVey and you're just kind of, you know, doing your own thing. And I'll be like, yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's where the philosophy came from. I mean, that's where my exposure came from, you know, why it was called Satanism. I mean, prior to that, people pretty much called it devil worship, you know, and then, you know, LaVey came out with his works. But I think a lot of his ideas were gravely missed. You know, he specifically said, don't follow me, do your own thing. And people are doing exactly that. They're following him, and that's where all these LaVeyisms come from. And there's another ism, the LaVeyism. You know, it drives me insane where they mimic and they copy, and there's no originality, there's no independent thought, no critical thinking. They're being dogmatic and legalist. I'm like, what? So then I end up having to be adversary to many adversaries.
Right, and I absolutely would agree with that, that the slippery slope that we walk on in this is that the moment that it becomes a dogma or some established principle without question, it's the moment that, we failed in doing what we're trying to do in the first place.
Absolutely. Well, then there's all that finger-pointing and finger-waving, you know, like, well, then you're not a Satanist, but there... The philosophy of Satanism contains many ideas which are not exclusively satanic. You know, like lust is not exclusively satanic. You know, pride is not exclusively satanic. But you put a whole bunch of stuff together and you code it your personal philosophy. Like, no one's going to follow my philosophy because it's mine. I created the damn thing. You'd have to be running around in my brain to follow it. But there are some similarities.
Right.
Commonalities that we all share, which is why, you know, we say we Satanists or those Satanists with an S instead of one Satanist.
Sure. I mean, in the same respect that there can be LaVeyanism, there could very easily be Alison Jonesism, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Yeah.
But at that point, doesn't it kind of, overall, it becomes tainted. It becomes tainted with the essence of your own personal philosophy, and at that point, somebody's just kind of knocking themselves out as a carbon copy of you. So,
right.
I mean,
why would anybody want to follow my personal philosophy? It's like when people come at me and they want to know what kind of Satanism I practice. You know, what codifies my Satanity? You know, I'm like. The first question I asked them is, I said, ask me a question. Come at me from a practicality that I can apply it, and then I can give you an example. Like if somebody asks me where I stand on, say, abortion or the death penalty or society, I can apply it and give them examples of my Satanity. But to say this is what Satanism is in a nice, neat little package, it makes little sense to do that. Because it's become so individual because each of us are individual.
Right.
That's why I thought it was an interesting topic, saying what is Satanism?
Right. You'll notice I kind of worded this a little bit strangely. I worded it as what Satanism is with a question mark. Because
right, yeah.
There's a couple of things that we kind of have to deal with. On some form of a psychological level, and that is that there is no hard defined Satanism, but at the same point, it can't just mean anything that you want it to mean. There has to be,
the code is basically like we all pretty much either agree or share common views of what qualities the archetype holds. Like the minute you ask a person who Satan is, a Satanist is going to have a specific set of qualities, and then a non-Satanist is going to have a specific set of qualities. A Satanist is usually going to say it's the opposer, it's the adversary, it's the litigator, it's the champion, it's the warrior. A non-Satanist is going to say something like it's the embodiment of evil, it is all things bad, it is the tempter, the deceiver, the trickster, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's pretty much the only thing that we can all pretty much agree on 100% is what Satan is as a symbol. Would you agree?
Right, and beyond that, I think if you transcend past that, then at that point you are like where you're polluting, you know, something that's pure. What's that?
That's awesome.
Sorry, guys. I had to drop a deuce.
Awesome.
Only on the ooze, man. Only on the ooze.
Well, that's probably the most intellectual thing that's ever happened here in this 106 episode. So, Zach, congratulations, man. You finally, you know, you pwned all of us.
I feel pwned.
I just gave birth to a little baby brown boy. Thank you. I gave birth to it out of my butt. You know, it happens once in a while.
Look what you have created. See your God?
I did create it. I created it and I flushed it down the toilet.
There you go. Sorry,
so
I didn't find
I'm thinking that the best way to go here after this now is to kind of maybe invite some other people to call in and give us just some of the qualities that they envision Satan should hold. I think that in itself should, maybe help to shape this show. I mean, for me, I think Satan represents old, ancient, earthly wisdom, common sense, in some senses, what I would see, maybe Lucifer, since I could actually consider them to be two separate deals, and I know most people don't, but I think they are. One's of Hebrew descent, and the other one's of Roman descent, and I think that you can't really mix the two of them together.
They represent
Yeah, I would see Lucifer as being like a youthful kind of knowledge, the knowledge of, being defiant and trying the bounds, trying out the limits of everything.
That was personified too, because originally it was just the planet Venus ushering in the light of the sun, morning star.
Sure. I can't even disagree with that.
Yeah, then it became a person, you know, a character.
Yeah, I mean, who was it? Paradise Lost. Is that Milton?
Yes. Milton.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it originated there, but I think he's probably the most influential on the development of Lucifer.
Yeah, I would say probably the most widely known.
Yeah. I see Satan as being kind of this older earthly wisdom, predators in front of you, fight or flight kind of deal, and where Lucifer would be more just bold defiance and, getting your ass kicked is acceptable so long as you stand your ground,
Yeah, I would say it was like more of a challenger. I wouldn't even really necessarily say that Satan as an archetype represents wisdom. That's more of the Lucifer archetype. Satan's more of a challenger, a litigator, poser, an adversary, trickster.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I could go with that, although I would have to stick with what I say and had said already. I guess I've already made my mind up on it, but I mean, I can see that as being very valid, so.
I'll be back, guys.
What's that? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. Zach fell off the line again, and I was actually looking at the switchboard trying to figure out whose number it was, and I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's still me.
So,
I was the only one brave
enough
to call, make my opinions known.
I appreciate that. I think that that's a very satanic thing by itself right there. I think that's a quality that that is directly related to Satan.
I'm myself out there, you know, and making my opinions known, and I want people to challenge me. I'm not infallible, you know. If people have some constructive criticisms for my ideas, I'm open to them, you know, because I'm not always seeing everything from every angle, and the outside perspective often helps me. You know, like just even seeing things from your point of view, you know, the Satan entity and the Satanism aspect of things. Yeah, I would definitely give that some thought.
It just in my mind seems to be a clear divide, but I mean, the clear divide is often muddled by commonalities, and that's, I guess, why I was hoping to get some of these aspects out there. You know.
My life, and I'm out there. I can recognize when I'm putting it to work, and I can recognize my own isms. You know, like, you know, when I'm calling. You know, here I am. You know, exercising one of my isms. You know, my narcissism, I don't know, just putting myself out there. You know, myself to criticism, examining things, thinking about things.
Allison.
Jack, we can hear you.
Allison Jones, that's the name. Allison Jones.
What did you say?
I got no idea.
I heard my name.
Right, I think he's talking to somebody else, I think.
Well, maybe somebody called him.
Maybe
they want to know all about me. Like, who is this chick? Was she on the radio? Give me the 411, Jack.
Talking the entire show, so I just hung up because there's really no need for me to be there anymore. I helped to introduce the show, but now it's just gone. It's so unbeaten.
Okay, this is well worth the pause, so hang on.
I know, listen.
Yeah.
Are we detecting some butt hurtness?
Jack. Graybush.
Well, there's a couple girls named Sven on Facebook, and I get them confused too. There's like three or four. This one's named.
Okay, I'm muting that. I don't want to. Don't want to put that out there too much. I think. We'll let Jack do his thing there. Whoever's on the other phone with him or wherever he's talking lets him know that he's on the air here. Oh, no, he hung up. There we go. I don't know if he hung up or fell off or.
Well, maybe he'll fill me in later since I was the subject of discussion.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I was half tempted to leave it on there, but I'm not quite that evil, so.
Oh, I am. I would have left it.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have, but, you know, I got to work with the guy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, like I said,
so,
you have to take my call if I'm imposing on your show, man. Just let me know.
I don't necessarily feel that you are. So I appreciate the call in, and I think that other people like to hear, you know, opinions outside of my own and Zach's. So anybody that calls in, I usually I'll put them right on and leave them on as long as they've got something to contribute.
Yeah,
definitely. You know?
Yep, right on.
I think that's, you know, in itself, you know, putting the philosophy of Satanism to work, you know, looking at things and you know, judging them for what they really are.
Yeah, you know, I think all things should be given, you know, at least some consideration. Because there's a great deal that is presented to me that I don't always agree with, but I got to hear it out first before I can even pass judgment on it. You know, you might be coming from a subject from a different angle, and you need a few minutes to kind of work it through as you talk. Because a lot of people do that; they think while they talk instead of think it all through and talk. And most people operate from that position where they have an initial thought, but as they talk and they hear the words flow out of their mouth, they kind of work their ideas through. So I like to hear it all and then, you know, be like, all right, man, I hear what you got to say. I don't know if I agree or, you know, I got to hear it out first.
Yeah. See, what I personally actually run into is I do a ton of thinking long before I ever talk. And it's not necessarily that I'm thinking out what I'm going to say either, but I find myself going back to borrow from that thinking regardless when I'm actually talking. So sometimes I have difficulty constructing a coherent idea because it's based on, you know, a slew of different thoughts that I've put together. You know, so in that aspect, I guess as I'm talking, I'm thinking while I talk, but not necessarily thinking while I'm talking, just kind of scanning the reservoir of thoughts that I've already had and putting them out there, you know.
I do a little of both, and sometimes as I'm thinking as I talk, after I've said it, then I got to go back. Sometimes I do have to backpedal because I'm like, wow, really? Okay, did I really say that? Did I really mean that? Did I really think about that before, or did I, like, was I compulsive? You know, because we're very compulsive just by nature. You know, our impulses might be to add something to a conversation when sometimes we should just listen.
Right, right, yeah. And that kind of ties back to, was it last week's subject, actually?
A couple weeks ago.
You know, I'm surprised there's like 11 people or something like that hanging out in the chat room. I really thought other people might call in and give us other qualities that the archetype of Satan would carry, or, you know, either that or call me out or call you out or whatever, you know, or...
Bring it on. You know, if anybody has any personal issue with me on the, you know, in the chat room, they could certainly bring it to the radio. I'm down.
Yeah. Well, I'm not necessarily looking for personal issue, though I wouldn't refuse.
No, I mean, like,
it.
You know, something that I've said. It would be personal if it was something I said. Like, I don't agree with you, you know. That's what I meant.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah. Just a little bit of... So, language is a funny thing, isn't it? And I think that's another...
It is.
That's another thing that makes
it important. In that regard, the written word. I know when I write a lot on the forums and things, you know, and I'm talking about Satanism or just, you know, posing my ideas, I think I've portrayed myself as a certain kind of character online where people deal with me differently in person than they do with me when I write. I've been examining that. Is it the language I use? Because, you know, when you use language, you view tone. You know, like sometimes people will read something I've written and they'll say, why are you so angry? And I'm like, wow, I'm not really angry at all. How the heck did I convey anger through what I just said? Or maybe they didn't get my sarcasm, or maybe I could have used different words to convey the thought and might have been received differently. Or is it just the perception of the reader, you know, because they have their own ideas in their head and then they read written language and then they apply those ideas to someone else's writing. Do you ever find that, like when you write on the forums and stuff?
Typically, actually, I honestly don't. I don't know if it's just the way that I write. I think most people have trouble even getting through a couple of sentences because they're just like, wow, this is all bloated garbage or something. But I don't personally find that myself. But I can say, having been a witness to your activity on different forums and stuff, the straightforwardness of things that you say sometimes can enact a certain level of hostility inside the person reading it, because the merit's so strong, and it might, you know, in itself clash with what ideas they've already established in their mind. That might be why they feel like you're angry, because you've made them angry.
I see, yeah. You know, I do that. I am very straightforward. I'm kind of a no-bullshit kind of gal, just in general, and that definitely comes out in my writing. You know, I'm pretty much, I'm straight shooter. I don't feel the need to sugarcoat or make people comfortable with my ideas. You know, these are my ideas. Either you're going to be comfortable or uncomfortable with them.
All right. Real quick, Allison, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the news.
Hey, what up? Jinko.
Hey, what's going on, Jinko?
Not much, man. Bored.
Bored? Okay. I mean,
yeah, just figured I'd call
anything you want to throw in here?
The topic is what Satanism is.
Yeah, what Satanism is, yes.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine throwing anything that hasn't already been spoken of. Satanism to me is, it's more of like a, yeah, it's an adversarial thing, but it's also a liberating thing from, what's most common. And, sorry, man, my head's all fucking whacked out, a little hammered.
No, that's fine. Actually, what I'm curious about here is where do you draw the liberation from? What aspects of Satan bring you to the idea of liberation?
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, I don't know how, I don't know if you were brought up in like a very like Christian sort of way where, you know, everything is one way, it's this way, or it's, you know, it's the highway. So, for me, Satanism was, you know, your way. So it was like, you know, it's like more of like a breath of fresh air perspective rather than just a do this or do nothing.
Okay, so the liberation is actually a side effect of Satanism rather than actually an inherent part of the symbolism.
No, yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things to in and to itself. More of a reactionary thing, I suppose.
Okay, that's fair, man. Allison, you got anything on that?
I can see liberation, yeah, being a byproduct because by doing your own thing and kind of opposing something that you don't hold to be true, you liberate yourself from that falsehood.
Okay, yeah. In that sense, I could see that too. I mean, ultimately, I suppose, the angel, the most high angel being cast to the earth had to be liberated in some sense. You know, he didn't have all the responsibilities of tending to the throne any longer. Something interesting to me, and I've really been debating this lately, Satanism as a reactionary thing. For a long time here, I have tried to attach a positive, proactive type mentality to the archetype, but it always seems, no matter what, to kind of roll back to this reactionary thing. And I guess I'm curious to know, do you guys feel like the reactionary part of it is, you know, do where it's at? Is there maybe a little too much of it? Is it there not enough of it?
Reactionary. Now, when you say reactionary, are you talking about, like, using it because of? Like, so, like, the other caller said, you know, life was either do it this way or take the highway, so then your reaction would be to oppose it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, reactionary in that sense. Like, from what I'm gathering from Jinko here, and he's still on the line, so he can correct me, but Satanism to him was his reaction to the tight fist that was held on him prior to that.
Well, that's how I kind of, like, got into it, but that's not, like, the whole, I don't base my entire life around the philosophy of something completely reactionary. Like, I hold no contempt for any Christians or anybody of any religion. It's just more or less that's how it began as, like, a liberating thing. So that part was definitely reactionary. But as for, like, Satanism itself, I don't really think it needs, I don't think it's, it's, as you said, it's like a byproduct.
And I'm personally glad to hear you say that, because that's one of the other things that becomes an ism, is as soon as somebody decides to apply that label to themselves, and they become Satan, or they use the symbol Satan, they all of a sudden decide that they need to be anti-Christian or anti-religion or anti-something. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's always the case. I think that in itself is reactionary. Their reaction is to be, well, I'm Satan, so then I have to be against the Christians or against Christian society, Christian culture.
That's true. I'd have very, very few friends in this world if I really made judgments on them based on their religion. Or it's honestly, it's the same thing as like any kind of racial thing. It's like if you're like racist, you got like, you know, it's a reaction to because you feel like some sort of injustice was done to you.
Yeah,
it's
another form of bigotry. Yeah, it's another form of bigotry and prejudice, and that in itself is a logical fallacy as far as I'm concerned. I judge people by what they do, not what they believe in. Because, you know, people can believe in a lot of crazy ideas, but if they don't do anything to infringe upon my life with those beliefs, what do I care?
Right on. Absolutely. I think that's another thing that can kind of be drawn from at least the romanticized aspects that have developed over the years about Satanism, is that you know, the devil kind of wanted to do his own thing and you know, and didn't want to have to, you know, sit on a bended knee to anybody. So
I think there's certain aspects of that mythology that are, I don't know, they're just overplayed. There seems to be an obsession with that whole story. You know, once somebody decides they're going to apply that label or, you know, codify a philosophy called Satanism, they kind of obsess over the Bible story. And that's an ism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't you find that?
I
mean, I find people, they talk about it a lot. It's like, can't you talk about Satanism at all without discussing the Bible mythology?
Right. Well,
what
I'm actually myself doing, I'm referring more to like theatrical or cultural development of the symbolism, and less about the actual Hebrew mythology. You know, the things that have arose since. You know, that is the kind of what I'm. I was hoping to tap into a little bit, but that, I think that's clear and valid. I think that,
just generally speaking, that they obsess.
Sure, and I did understand that. I was just kind of clarifying myself for the benefit of the audience so that there wasn't any, you know, misunderstanding of that, so.
Sure.
But anyway, what Jinko's still hanging out on the line, all right. What do you guys think about the idea of you know, like the war in heaven? Do you think that's you know, that mythology plays into Satanism at all, or do you think it really kind of stops after you get past the actual archetype itself?
For me, it does. I tend to take the story itself more symbolic and metaphoric than literal. Like, for instance, the Book of Revelations, I don't even really see that as a war in heaven at all. That's more of a battle amongst people. You know, it's really about kingdoms and, you know, all the elements that make up the beast itself represent the kingdoms of Israel, and these are people battling. I don't really even see it as a war in heaven, and it's more of an internal struggle, similar to like the Muslims' jihad. You know, it's more of a spiritual thing than a literal thing, but a lot of people see the literalism. So for me, yeah, the archetype stops in OT.
Right on.
I'm sorry, I wasn't even right too on. Clear on the question itself. What exactly were you asking?
Okay, like, for instance, you could stop at just the qualities that the mythical creature or a person or character or whatever title Satan held, and that would by itself, I think, be a very, full perspective that you could practice Satanism from. But it goes further. It goes beyond just the defiance and the fall from, you know, the fall to earth. There's then the war in heaven, and, you know, there's more to the mythology than just meets the eye. So I'm curious to know if you feel that actually plays into Satanism, or if for you it stops at the archetype.
Well, as a practice, I can't really see how anybody could formulate a belief system around those stories alone, because there was never any real moral code behind, like, the war in heaven, or if someone were to worship something like, you know, Satan or the devils or whatever, what they would even want. Like, what did Satan ever ask you for nothing? So, and it's like, there's no real premise to go on based on that, other than, you know, I would say that, like, being reactionary, you know, it's like there's the war in heaven, and, you know, like, what really else could you gain from that other than, okay, these guys have a problem with these guys? Like, could you really build a philosophy based on that alone?
Not on that alone, but in combination with the archetype, yeah, you could. I see people do it every day. I don't know if you're familiar with the writings of that cat, Mabone, but he's very anti-Christian and very outspoken about it. You know, that almost seems to me like he places more importance on the war in heaven than he does on the entire rest of the you know, the mythology.
Well, that's pretty retarded to me.
I mean, I see a lot of Joy of Satan people doing that. There was a bunch of YouTubes. It's called The Ministry of Satan. I watched a few of those clips. And they're focused, they're taking that story, and as far as this YouTuber was concerned, they were taking the story and they were making it their personal life's mission to point out all of the things that are going on in current events that the Christians are doing and using and oppressing, and they were just being the mouthpiece, basically, like pointing it out. Like, it's my job to show you how much the Christians have an effect on every aspect of life, and we need to counter this. Like, let's all, you know, get forces together, and let's go to the White House, let's go lobby for this, lobby for that. So this particular YouTuber was taking that story and applying it in their own Satanism, by, yeah, just being the, you know, the town crier, basically.
Satanism's full of,
right,
like, those weird Satanisms, like theistic or spiritual, just full of fucking whack jobs.
I wouldn't say they're all whack jobs. I mean, believe me, I've read some wacky shit. But some of them, you know, they take a more esoteric approach to it, and it's for themselves.
Yeah.
They're just delving into things that may not interest most people.
Yeah, I just can't see, like, people going out of their way just to, like, bother other people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that aspect of it, I'm just like, why? Why are you putting all your time and attention and energy? Because they're really doing it for other people. I mean, they're doing it for themselves first and foremost, but for the most part, they feel like they're helping other people. You know, like, I'm trying to help everybody. I'm trying to help the race. I'm trying, you know, well, what are you accomplishing? Like, who's actually listening? You know, there's only a handful of fans or viewers, or maybe I'm, you know, I don't know, maybe that there's more than that, I don't know, it just didn't seem like they were reaching many people. Like, people would click that shit off, like, I ain't interested in that. You know what I mean? Like, I found it on some random search, I wasn't even looking for it, and I found it, and I was like, let me watch what this cat's, you know, ranting about. And they just seemed like they were awfully, getting themselves awfully, like, riled up. It was quite an angry clip, you know, it was just investing all that energy and emotion into what, really.
Yeah, people are real obsessed with making the world perfect before they even take one glance at themselves.
Yeah, and I'm all about myself. You know, like, what can I do to improve upon myself and my state of living?
Yeah. All right, guys, we are down to the last minute. Thank you both for calling in and contributing. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Hopefully everybody will tune in tomorrow as we'll talk about my dick being bigger than yours. So thanks again, and hopefully we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, peace out.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's your discretion to have one. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?